Welcome to the Gregory Digout Podcast.
Those of you watching from around the world, thank you so much for joining us today. Our world is getting smaller. We're staying connected. We're staying with it, right? We're staying plugged in to our church. And you mean so much to me and Pastor. And we're excited you are taking the gospel around the world to Istanbul. Praise God. He taught a Bible school in Italy earlier this week, and several pastors in the region came because they heard he was coming. We are reaching lives. We are changing lives around this world. We're doing it together. So thank you so much. And I just want to bless you. And I just thank you, Father, for we just agree together, Lord God, that we've come today. We are standing in your presence without guilt, without shame, without condemnation, without fear, because of the blood of Jesus. And we give honor to that precious name, Jesus, and that blood that unites us all around the globe right now. We are one. We are one church. We thank you, Holy Spirit. There's one Spirit, and you are in us. And we honor you, and we ask you to open our hearts right now and open our minds and let the anointing of God come deep and go deep into our soul. Heal our soul where we're hurting. Heal our bodies where we are, where the manifestation of your glory hasn't hit yet. Lord, because we know we're already healed, but we think that that healing is going to rise up inside of us and that our bodies are going to be healed. Our mind's going to be at peace. Our future is already bright because you have our story already written. So we just give you the honor right now. We give you, we look to you, Lord. We look into your eyes. We look into the destiny that you've written inside of our hearts. And we will not look back. We look to you, Lord. We look up and we smile at the future because you are on our side and you are good. And something good is going to happen to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Thank you, and this is going to be a good day. Something good is going to happen. Aw, thanks for the flowers, guys. That's so sweet. I'm really, you know, I want to talk to you today about, I want to jump right into this because I want to talk to you today about a really, something that is, I think, plaguing a lot of Americans, especially since the pandemic, something that I think the church deals with a lot that we all kind of do in our own life, and it's really kind of an addiction, sort of an addiction. We're going to talk about how to get free from that addiction. No, it's not drugs, it's not drinking, it's not smoking, it's not sex, it's not all those other vices. We all have, you know, look, none of us are perfect. I'm standing up here, I'm not perfect. This is actually a really, really bad habit in my life. So it's worry. I'm going to talk to you about how to stop worrying, how to be free from worry. It's a terrible habit, it's a terrible addiction. It becomes, it's very hurtful and damaging. And you know, just so that you know, like it's something, I mean, we all try. And you know, it's kind of the one thing that like, it's like they tell you, you know, what does the Bible say? Don't worry, you know? And like, you know that. And the worst thing you can hear when you're a worrier is just don't worry. It's like someone telling me, come on in, my dog won't bite you. Just be, if you're afraid, then he might bite you. So don't be afraid. And well, that makes me totally more afraid. Now I'm super afraid. Like, I'm trying to stay calm and not let the dog pick up that I'm super afraid on the inside, worried that I'm gonna get bitten. So it's just like a downward spiral. But, you know, I'm going to share with you some things, some steps, how to get free. Because you know why? There's something great in you. There's greatness inside of you. There's something God has called you to do. There's a destiny, Chicago. Yeah. There's a destiny in you. Yeah, yeah, you thought I forgot about you, but no, you're there and I'm here and we're connected. And I got something to say. So wherever you are, if you're watching at home, get your coffee, sit down, get focused. And take a moment right now for you, because, and I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you for taking the moment to come out on a cold Chicago morning. We're in Chicago. You came out on a cold Chicago morning. It was snowing last night. But you know what? The snow is good, because guess what? He's washed us white as snow. So it reminds us. Everything in this world can remind us of God's goodness. But what I want to talk to you today about is how to overcome this worry. The Bible says in Matthew 6, for this reason, Jesus said, I say to you, don't be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, or for your body as to what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? Oh, I hate that one. Because somehow it just feels like it will work. One of these days, if I think through it enough, if I overthink it enough, I will get the answer. I'm a real puzzle. I love puzzles, and I love Sudoku, and I love, like, figuring things out. I like Sudoku because there's always, like, a definite answer. But in life, life is not that way. And so you're telling me, you know, I've gotten mad over this verse with God. We've had a few arguments about this. Because I'm like, okay, yeah, easy for you to say the birds. Well, they don't need to wear clothes. We worry about what to wear, but the birds don't have to wear clothes. The animals don't have to think about it, you know. Lilies are just sitting there. They don't have an agenda, a to-do list that they have to get accomplished. Easy for them to sit there and be beautiful, you know. They're not sweating, cooking dinner, and taking care of kids and dressing them and getting, you know, we've got life, people. We have life to live. Amen. And God knows that, though. He knows that. He says, but if he clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow, thrown away in the furnace. Because you know that, right? The grass withers and the flower fades. But the word of God lasts forever. And it is easy to get caught up in these things that are so temporary and how we look and what we think. And we worry about, I was driving here today, I'm like, we worry, are we going to get there on time? And I'm worrying about, is this person going to cut me off? And we worry about, is this, what am I going to eat later? What am I going to do later? What am I going to say? What am I going to, you know, tell this person? And the worry just is like a wheel, just goes on and on and on. I know I'm talking, I'm preaching to the choir, I think. I know you guys know this. And we had this play that we were putting on as a school this week. And what happened was basically every year our school has a tradition. We tell the stories of history, his story, and we put history in God's perspective. Well, last year because of COVID, we couldn't do it. And no plays, no music, no singing, nothing. But this year it was like, my team's like, come on, we're gonna do it this year. But I was like, oh, I'm cringing. I don't wanna do the same play over and over. It's kinda like the Nutcracker. They have it every December and everyone goes and they like it, but you know what's gonna happen, you know? And I'm like, I want it to be a little bit different and innovative, and I gotta and they're like, come on, let's do this, we gotta do this. I'm like, okay. But I had a dream inside of me. I had a story inside of me that I hadn't written yet into these pages. Cause this is like an original play that we've been writing through the years, and we'll add to it, we'll take away, we'll, you know, anyway, it's called The Seeds of Liberty, and it's about people's lives who often get forgotten, and, you know, you don't hear about them. They're the forgotten ones that fall into the ground. In fact, I just want to say, because I know that this was Veterans Day, and this past week, and often our soldiers, I think there's like 92,000 soldiers since World War II that have still not been found, that have been unlocated and missing, gone missing. But they will never be forgotten. And that's what we do in this play. We tell the story of people that you don't even know about, but they contributed by bringing God's liberty. See, that's like you. You have a destiny and a calling. But if you let worry and fret eat away. You know what to worry means, like a, sorry, I don't mean to like be throwing out, being hard on the dogs, but like a dog gnawing at something and over it, like a rag or a sock, or just eating it, you know, just chewing it and chewing it. Like, you know, it's like, that's what worry, that's actually in the definition of worry. If you look it up, it's like a dog or an animal gnawing at something. And that's what we feel. So anyway, I was very like worried about, I didn't want it to fail. I don't want to fail. Nobody wants to fail. And I was afraid. And worry, it comes from fear. And I sat down and I wrote these things down in my file. This was my file folder that I used for the play. And I kept all my notes, my scripts and everything. Because this team was like saying, we're doing this, you know. And I'm like, okay. But it can't be the same as before. We got to have this new. And it was something in my heart, but I didn't know how to get it out. But it forced me. And what helped me were these words, and I wrote them down. Stop worrying about what you're bad at. Start thinking about what you're good at. And love that about you. I listen to Gary Vee. I have to give him a shout out. And he really encourages me. I feel like he preaches the gospel without a Bible. Because he really talks about loving yourself. And he really communicates God's peace and love. Not from God necessarily, but it's true. You can't deny truth. You know, it doesn't have to be a Bible verse. Truth is truth. You're worried about outcomes without realizing the outcome isn't the interesting part. Now hear this. Somebody in Chicago needs to hear this. The outcome is not the interesting part. We're all about outcomes, right? My father was a pianist, and his whole life was, he was always so nervous when he had to perform something. And he would not be able to concentrate on anything until that performance was done. And I kind of picked that up in my DNA, I think, where it's like, if I'm focusing on a project, I swear, like the groceries, oh, we're out of eggs, sorry. I can't think about any of my emails. I had like 400 emails unanswered. Like, I just can't get so focused when I'm creating and doing something, but I'm also very, very afraid that it's not going to be good. You're worried about the outcomes without realizing the outcomes aren't the interesting part. Going through it is the interesting part. Yeah. Going through it. Staying with it, enjoying the process, right? We've been saying this. Having fun before it's done. Yep. I had to tell myself, I wrote it down so every time I opened my folder, I would see that. Grace, you're gonna have fun before it's done. You're freaking out right now because it's completely, you know, but I gotta give a shout out to Dunya Baca and Suzanne Noor, my two right hand, these are my pillars. I couldn't have done it without them. They kept pushing me and kept pushing. Finally, you know, 72 hours before the production. So I'm trying to get, I'll read some more of this. But 72 hours, I was like, let's cancel. It's terrible. These kids don't know their lines, and I am not organized enough. It's on me. It's on me. I wasn't good enough. The script isn't good enough. It's not funny. It doesn't go together. Steve's pieces are missing. It's just not, there's no glue. It's gonna be terrible. If you ever worked on a project or, you know what I mean? Is anyone out there know what I mean? I don't even care because I don't even care. You guys can see all of my, you know, weaknesses. It doesn't bother me. But I sat down and I thought, and I heard this. Gary said, you'll always lose if you're doing it for them. It makes it quiet for me. I don't have to hear the negative or I don't worry about the admiration. I'm grateful for the admiration, but my inability to hear that is why I'm able to deal with the negative thoughts. I don't listen to either of them. And it makes it quiet for me so I can play the game, do you enjoy your life? And you have to ask yourself, do you enjoy your life? Are you enjoying life? Sometimes we're so worried because we don't have what other people have, or we don't have what the world says we should have, or we don't look like the way the world says we should look, or we're not acting, or we don't have it together like the world says we should, and we worry and we fret. And you know what? We're not enjoying our life. The lilies are enjoying, the sparrows are enjoying, all of nature's enjoying if you look around, right? But we are fretful, and I guess there's a Russian saying that says, man thinks and God laughs. It's like we think, we burn the candle at both ends. We're gonna stay up late. We're gonna go to bed early. You know, we're gonna stay up late and get up early. We're gonna really think this through. Our minds are smart. We're gonna figure this out. And we forget about God, and he's up there laughing. And sometimes I want to encourage you today. I want you, no matter where you're watching from right now, whatever's ailing you, whatever's nagging you, maybe you're dealing with cancer and you feel like, and this, you're in fourth stages and you thought you had believed God and you had faith and now you feel like maybe your faith is failing. Don't worry. God knows. I'm going to help you today. I'm going to show you some steps on how to get free from that worry. But we got to enjoy the process. We got to have fun before it's done. Because even if your body is failing, you're in a win-win situation. Guess why? Because if you do pass, which we're going to believe for the resurrection power and his life to heal you, but even if I were to die tomorrow, man, are you kidding me? That's the biggest promotion I could ever ask for in my life. There's no shame about that at all. And we go out fighting, don't we, Christians? We go out fighting. We go out, we stand, we believe the whole way through, and we're rejoicing the whole way through.
That's good.
If you're looking for outside validation, I was telling myself this, you're vulnerable in this game of life. If you're looking, your happiness matters. Your happiness matters, and your quality of mental happiness matters. So don't beat yourself up if you're working too little or too much. Focus on if you're happy and if the people you love are happy. So I went into this project looking, telling myself, don't worry about the outcome. Don't worry. I'm taking care of these students and their parents, and we're telling a story. And if nobody gets it, and if the play it's terrible. At least the students will have learned the story. And that's a great way to learn, you know, just playing. The children shall play in the streets, right? So they're having a play and they're having to memorize these quotes and these lines, so they're learning it. And I had to keep telling myself, but anyway, 72 hours before I was like, let's postpone it to next week. It's not going to be good. And you know what? My team is awesome. They're like, you know, if you want to do that, we can do that. We can do that. How about if we just sleep on it and then the next day, you know? And you know what that did for me? It, like, I remember I ran into Olivia and Robert outside, and they were like, Ma, if you want to postpone it 1 week, it's okay. We can do that. I called Suzanne. She said, I'm okay. If you want to do it another week, it's fine. I called Dunya. She said, it's okay. Whatever you want. If you think it'll be okay, don't worry about it. But let's just sleep on it. Let's think about it tomorrow. And that's what we did. And I'm just telling you, this is what happened to me. And the next morning, I woke up, we changed some things. We worked hard. By 5 o'clock the next day, so now it's 48 hours before the show, we all felt great. We were like, we can do this. But I needed the freedom. I needed the breath, the second breath, to freedom from worry, just to know that I could do it. And sometimes we have to give yourself time, give God time, take a breath. Yeah, I know, you wish it could have happened this way. You wish this could be the way it is. But why not just enjoy the moment? Enjoy these things. I'm gonna help you today. I hope I'm gonna help you. I'm gonna share you some things that'll help you enjoy life, enjoy the peace. Because even I was fretful. I was overthinking, even, you know. And then I sat through the play, by the way, and I was shaking the whole time. I was so nervous, but then I realized, okay, Lord, we did our best, now it's up to you. And it's nice when you work hard towards something. And I felt really pleased because there was a dream in my heart. There was a story in my heart. And if I had just said, no, forget it, let's not do it, that would have stayed in there. And sometimes you got to give yourself the room to fail. Put it out. What's in your heart? What's the dream inside of you right now? Do you want to write a song? There's probably a song in you, but you think you don't have a good voice. Or there's a story in you, but you're maybe not a good writer. Or maybe there's a hope in you, or you want to do something. Why? What are you waiting for? It's a miracle that you're born. Do you realize? If your parents had had sex the day after, you probably wouldn't be here today. But it was the timing of God. You were perfectly timed out. And yet we think, oh no, why? This isn't in my life, and this isn't in my life. And, you know, there's you can walk, you can stand, you have legs, you have arms. There's some people that can't even breathe on their own. They can't even get up on their own. Yeah. I mean, we have so much, and we're missing it. And we're missing this game of enjoying life because we're so darn worried about it not being perfect. And you have to make the decision, and like I did, I don't care. And parents might be mad if we have to postpone. I had to have that moment to breathe and say, yeah, I could do that. And I breathed, and I felt good, and I realized it's okay to not be perfect. You know, I mean, don't be down on yourself because, you know, we worry, oh, I have to, you know, I mean, we get down on ourselves for little things that we can't get done. I'm still late. Me, Grace. I'm not saying that's a thought. I'm telling you, I'm still late. I keep trying to be on time. But you know what? I'm going to enjoy my life and I'm going to own it. I'm going to be apologetic if I, you know, ruin everything. I'll just own it. But you know what? Why should I overthink? You know what? Why don't we just get out and do some stuff? Why do we sit there dwelling and mulling and thinking and overthinking? Just get out there and do it. And if you fail, so what? At least you enjoy something and you learn something. And, you know, if you made a mistake, you learn from it. If you fail, failure is the greatest teacher. So I just, oh, here's my notes. I'm like, I just realized this folder's empty. But I want to say one more thing. There's a verse in the Bible that's in Isaiah 35. I didn't give you guys this verse, but it says, the wilderness and the desert will be glad, and the Arabah desert will rejoice and blossom. It will blossom profusely and rejoice with rejoicing and shouts of joy. Encourage the exhausted, strengthen the feeble. That's my job today. I don't have a lot more time left, but this is what I'm going to do. Say to those with anxious heart, take courage, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. The recompense of God will come. Do you hear that, Chicago? Do you hear that, Chicago? Did you hear that, Hoffman? Yeah. The recompense of God will come. It doesn't have to come from you, though. It comes from heaven. He will save you. The eyes of the blind will be opened. The ears of the deaf will be unstopped. The lame will leap. The tongue of the dumb will speak and shout for joy. Yes, that child will speak. Amen. That child will speak. Those ears will hear. Those eyes will see. Jesus came. And this is prophetically about Jesus. And we know, what did John send his disciples to find out if he's really the one? Jesus went back to John because John was in prison about to be beheaded. And he's like, wait, what? He's like, wait, what? I'm in prison and I'm going to get my head cut off? Like, could you just go and ask Jesus one more time? This is John the Baptist who said, I'm the voice crying in the wilderness. Here it comes. Prepare the way, right? Even John the Baptist was worried. Even he had a moment, a deep, dark moment. Have you been in a deep, dark moment where you just feel like it'll never happen for me? He probably thought he failed. He probably thought this isn't going the way it's supposed to. How many of you feel that? I have felt that. This is not how life was supposed to be happening to me. Yeah. I did this. I did that. I sowed these seeds. I prayed these prayers. And why is it? To see, I'm going to take your silence to be a, that yes, you see it. No, I think that's, let it go deep. Let it go deep. Because in that deep, dark moment, guess what? Do you know that the Araba desert, which it mentions in this verse, it says the waters will break forth in the wilderness and streams in the Araba, and the scorched land will become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water where there was nothing before. The scorched land, that's like a mirage. When you know when you're driving, you see a mirage, you think it's water. It will be a water. It will be a pool of water. It won't just be an image anymore. It won't just be a hope. Your hopes are going to be realized. They are going to come to pass. He is coming. He's coming for you. He's at work. He's still working, right? The thirsty ground springs of water. And then it says later in that verse, it says that in verse... and the ransom... I thought there was another place where it said it, somewhere anyway. The other days. Yeah, waters will break forth. It's like verse 7, 6 or 7. Waters will break forth in the wilderness, streams in the Araba, and the scorched land will become a pool. I skipped the verse. Here's the bottom line. The Araba, I looked into it. The geography of that desert, it's in Israel. It's actually, well, I'm not a geographer. I read about it. And the bottom line is there's a point in the Araba Desert, which is actually one of the lowest points on the globe, below sea level. So this desert goes up and down, and it touches the Jordan River, and the Red Sea is like at the bottom, and so then this desert just goes up north along one side. And in that desert, the lowest point on the globe, one of the lowest points on the whole globe, and the Word of God says a highway will be there, a roadway, the ranch, it says that right there in verse, wilderness and the desert, the Araba will be glad. Back in verse 1 of Isaiah 35, the Araba desert will rejoice and blossom. It will blossom profusely and rejoice with rejoicing and shouts of joy. What am I trying to say? Right in that low, deep moment, that where you feel like you're so below sea level, that's where it's going to break forth. The waters are going to break forth. The roses are going to bloom. The flowers are going to blossom. Everything's going to come alive. We get so afraid and worried about having any low moments. But guess what? We can't, because in a tree in the winter or when there's not a lot of snow or not a lot of rain, the roots of a tree go deep, 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 go deeper. And then they say the fruit on the tree the next year is so much better. So we need to enjoy whether we're high or low. We are a win-win, people. Do you hear that? When you're in a low, low, dark moment, like John the Baptist thought, this is the end, this is, but guess what? Jesus said, tell him, the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed. This is the kingdom of God. So let's get rid of this worry, can we? Let's not let worry eat up. Let's be our own number one person. Let's be our own number one fan. Let's stop needing other people. Let's get focused into what God's word says so that we can really be free from this worry. All right. So what do we know? Worry is a waste of time. Number one, I'm going to give you quick little steps. Number one, worry wastes your time. We already know that. You can't gain by worrying. You can't earn an hour. I like this quote by Michael J. Fox. He says, when He goes, why live through worry? Believe the best. If it turns out good and that bad thing didn't happen, you will not have wasted your time worrying about it. Why live through it twice? If things don't turn out well, then you can deal with it. If the bad thing happens, then you deal with it then. But don't go through it twice and worry the whole way and then it happens. Because guess what? If it doesn't happen, you'll waste it all that time, right? So worry is no good. Secondly, it hurts you. Proverbs 12:25 says, worry weighs a person down. Okay, so I think that we can sometimes not realize how much it's hurting us and just let those thoughts go. I like what Robert said at Moments about a couple weeks ago. He said, when you're feeling that stream of worry, it's just going back, that stream of thoughts, it's just coming at you like a barrage. Has anyone ever experienced that? All right, Chicago, how about you? You felt that where it's like you constantly are worrying money, the bills, the kids, the house, you know, one thing after another, garage, one thing after another. When you're owning a house or owning, or if you have kids, or if you have a job, if you own a car, you know, it's like, I was driving my car the other day and the wheels just started shaking, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what is happening? It turns out that there was a problem, I had to go take it in. There's always something, right? But Rob said, step aside of that battle. Step aside and view it from the outside in. Don't look at life from your thoughts. Look at your thoughts. Remove yourself from that. And it diffuses the power of those thoughts because it can just weigh you down. And separating yourself allows you to really look at them and then decide which thoughts you're going to agree with. And we know if it lines up with love and it lines up with the word, we know it's God's thought. The other day I was being condemned about something. I was just feeling bad all day. And then I stopped and I'm like, this is not the Holy Spirit. Because I've been feeling like nagged all day, like gnawing, like, and that is not how the Holy Spirit speaks. People, sometimes you've been hearing God say, you think God's saying to you, oh, you're so bad. You better get that right. You better tell, you know, you better do this. You better forget. You better. That's not how the Holy Spirit speaks. He's gentle. He's like, look at the lilies. You know, God's got a bigger plan. It's okay. It's going to be all right. And stop looking at yourself and looking down at yourself and criticizing yourself. Stop criticizing yourself. Stop judging yourself. Jesus already took all the judgment. So even if you are there and you're guilty and you're a sinner, you might be watching right now and you don't even, the first time you've ever watched a broadcast and you might not know anything about Jesus, but guess what? God doesn't even see you like that. He already sees you only through Jesus' eyes. He sees you like Jesus. He already did that for you through the cross. So we got to remember that. And that leads me to my third thing. Remember the good. Look at the good in your life. Don't worry about what you're bad at. Stop worrying about what you're bad at and what you don't have. Be thankful for what you do have. You know what? Psalm 103 says he's healed. Again, for those of you watching, and maybe you don't know anything about the Bible, but guess what? He's forgiven all your sins. That's the good news. Better news, he's healed all your diseases. It's already true. Thirdly, he's redeemed your life from depression, from the pit, corruption, from being that low place. He's redeemed you. Jesus took it all for you. That's why he died such a terrible death. And then he crowned you with loving kindness. Number four, he's raised you up. And these are just some things you can think about that are good. It's all in Psalm 103. I encourage you to read it, look it up, look at different versions. And then it says that he'll fill and satisfy your years with good things. Amen. And it says your youth will be renewed like the eagle. Amen. So there's so much goodness when you just think about those good things in your life. Norman Vincent Peale said, and my favorite quote of his is, never imagine the worst case scenario. A lot of us, I know we have to troubleshoot things and we have to make sure that, you know, we plan our trips, we plan our projects, we plan our work, but don't imagine, don't let your mind, listen, like Rob said, step aside, don't let your mind start imagining the worst. What if that dog bites me? You know, don't imagine that. Imagine the dog running into my arms and hugging me. You know what I'm saying? Like, why do I always imagine the worst? It's like, because we're afraid and we don't want to be caught off guard. Get in God's arms and you won't be caught off guard. He'll hold you. He'll protect you. All right. And that takes me to my next little thing right here. And if we run out of time, we run out of time. Pastor always says, treat worry as a signal. When you worry, here's what you do. Look at James chapter 1 in the Message translation. If you don't know what you're doing, okay, that's me right there. I feel like that every day. I don't know what the heck I'm doing. I'm just trying to juggle balls. Many of us, we don't know, right? If you don't know what you're doing, okay, hello, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get his help and won't be condescended to when you ask for it. Isn't that awesome? Some people, they condescend you and they ask for help. When you ask for help, you know, I've been that way, I'm sure. It's like a student, I'm like, can't you figure this out, you know? But see, God is not like that. He will never condescend you. Ask boldly, believingly, without a second thought. People who worry their prayers are like wind-whipped waves. Don't think you're going to get anything from the master that way, adrift at sea, keeping all your options open. Sometimes we don't want to commit because we just want to stay out there floating in the sea. Well, I'm not sure. Should I do this? And we like the game of worrying because we don't have to do anything. But you know what? Just get out there and do it. And if you don't know what to do, then get a dartboard and put two options and then throw a dart. And wherever it lands is close, just do that. Get out and do it. Do something. Stop mulling. Stop thinking. Stop overthinking. Right? And then, you know, the Bible says in Philippians 4, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray. Tell God your needs. Don't forget to thank him for his answers. Or pray and with thanksgiving, you know, make your requests known. And with thanksgiving, ask God. Sometimes we're so quick to, we just think God's mad. We just get mad at God. We start criticizing God. Oh, you know, why did you make me marry this guy and these kids and this job? And you don't even know how much and we get mad at God. You know, I'm driving this stupid old car and you know how much, and I've wanted a new car and I've asked you and I've prayed and then nothing happened. You just get mad. Then instead of just saying, Lord, you know what? You might have been busy when I asked you this before. I just want to repeat it and let you know, like, I really could use a new car. And you said to ask, and that's, I'm just asking. And this is the kind of car I want, Lord. But if you want to you just go for it. If you want to bless me, feel free. And see, you make your request known with thanksgiving. But Lord, whatever you give me, I'm going to be thankful. Because you just calm down, you know. I mean, I've done that. I'm terrible. Like at a restaurant, like I'll order. I'm like, please, no mayonnaise and no sauce on the burger and no cheese, you know. And then they come and they're like, and I'm like. And I'm like, I think I said, you know, and Greg's like, I'm sorry, could you just bring her a new one? Like, he's just kindly like, can you just bring her a different, you know. And I mean, I was getting there. I was going to ask, but I just was like. So anyway, we can be ridiculous. I've been ridiculous, right? But God is so merciful, and look how much he loves us and forgives us. So when you come to him, be cool. Just be thankful and ask. And by the way, you can ask whatever you want, but also then say, Lord, your will be done. Because it's going to be better than whatever you could dream up. Trust me. Hello? Hello, Chicago? It's going to be better than what you can dream. I know you think that you know better than God. I know I do. I think sometimes like, Lord, come on. I mean, how long are you going to take? Because like, you know, this is your answer. Like you've got, you know, like even I know better than that. Like we start thinking like even we know how to solve this better. God is so bigger. He's so much bigger. In those low, low points, he knows what to do. And, you know, it's like the little boy in the candy store. He came in the candy shop or the drugstore, and the owner, this little boy with his father, and the owner says, here, son, reach into this jar. You can have some sweets. And the boy didn't say anything. He just kind of looked up at his dad. And the owner said again, go ahead. You can reach in. It's free. It's no charge. Just reach in and take as much as you want. And the little boy didn't say anything. He just looked up at his dad. And finally, his dad's like, he just reached in and grabbed some candy. He's like, thanks a lot. And they walked out. And he asked his son later, he's like, why didn't you reach in the jar and take the candy he was offering and it was free? And the little boy smiled and he said, because I knew that your hand was bigger than mine. So, God, you know, worry's been, it's been crushing our faith. Yeah. It's keeping us away from choking out. The Bible says, I didn't read this verse, but the Bible says, Jesus said that the seed that's sown on the thorns is like the people who have the word, but worry chokes it out. Yeah. Many of us here, you have so much word. You've been taught richly of the word, but we let worry choke out, and we're mad at God, or we're mad at the church, or we're mad at people, or we're mad at our husband, our wife, because we don't see the fruit, but it's us. We have to stop worrying. It's a disease. It's an addiction. It's a habit that's bad. And Jesus said this after he said all those beautiful things about the lilies and the sparrows and can't add time. Then he says in Matthew 6:33, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that means seek first the kingdom of God and his, meaning he's good and he's right and he's nice about it. He's not always right and always in your face. He's nice about it. He's always right. And what did we learn from Pastor about the assumptions? Remember last week? Anybody remember what we learned? God's not mad at you. He's mad about you. We have to seek first this kind of God. This is his kingdom. He's not mad at you. He's never going to shame you. He's never going to forget about you. He's not going to reject you. Someone in Chicago, please say amen so I can hear you. He's not going to let you go. He is not finished with you yet. You are the thing that he loves so much. Like he loved you, then he loves us and he washes us, and then he makes us kings and priests. Like he is working on you and you're worried that it's not so beautiful yet. No, don't worry. If it's not beautiful yet, that means that he's not done. Just give God time, right? We learned that last week. Give God time. It is finished. You got that unfinished thing that's ailing and bothering you, nagging you. Like, when am I going to get that garage cleaned out? When am I going to get that clutter out of my house? Don't worry about it. God's working it. He knows. And you just keep enjoying your life. And don't let the worry choke out your promises. Don't let the worry choke out who you know God is. And most of all, just know that He made you his righteousness. He's made you clean by his blood. So a lot of these things we get worried about because it feels like a reflection of our something bad with us, something wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. You're the righteousness of God. So you're not wrong, you're right. And when you feel guilty, you feel bad, just remember, John 19:30, Jesus said it's finished. He did it all and you have become the very righteousness of God. So why worry? You're more beautiful than the lily. You've been created by God from the inside out. And he has a beautiful plan. Let's pray. You might be watching today or you might be here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord. I want to pray for you. I want you to just ask him into your heart and acknowledge that you need him because he's already washed you. He's already done it. He already has a plan for you, but you have to open the front door and let him come in. So just pray this after me. Repeat after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus into my life. Thank you for sending him to the cross. I believe he died for me, and he took away all my sins, healed all my disease, redeemed me from the pit, crowned me with life and love, and now I'm born again, and I'm in his family. I'm in your family, Lord. I believe with all my heart, Jesus is Lord. Come into my life, Jesus. I begin this day with you. And I'm going to enjoy the journey. I'm going to have fun before it's done. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all say this. In Jesus' name. Jesus. I'm going to have fun before it's done. I'm going to stay with it. I'm going to enjoy the process. I'm going to have fun in this game of enjoying my life. My happiness matters. I reject worry. I accept happiness. God is happy with me. If I'm not happy with me, I'm going to change my perspective because God is happy with me. He's proud of me. I'm loved by him. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you guys. That's it. You are amazing. Be kind to yourself. You can do it. You can do this. This is a new day for all of us. Love you, Chicago. I'm looking forward to seeing you soon. All of you online, thank you for joining us. Please write to us. Let us know if there's anything we can do for you. If you want to get connected to a life group or get connected in any way through our church, we've got global life groups happening. We have all kinds of people coming to Jesus. And Pastor will be back next week, so you don't want to miss it. We'll see you on Moments this Wednesday. God bless you, everybody. Have a great day. Bye, guys.